Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast presented by Zwift. The third pod today, we're on fire. 227 Ks around Montreal for the Grand Prix Cycliste de Montreal. This is a hard circuit. It is different to the race in Quebec. That had 2,500 meters of climbing. This is nearly 5,000 meters of climbing. And in my opinion, this is more difficult than the World Championships course. There is very few flat kilometers in this race, albeit the climb itself, I guess you could say, no, I think it's as hard, frankly. It's 2.3K, 6.3%. But if you take the middle kilometer of that, it is 1K at about 9%, which is the World Championships climb that we have coming up. But this is longer. So very hard race. We have a stacked start list, frankly, with Pogacar, Bajoli, Adam Yates, Guru, came third in Liège-Bastogne-Liège, Van Aert, Bardet looked good the other day, Bilbao, who I think was being a little bit political with Alejandro in the interview the other day about why he's not going to World Champs when he said there's better riders in Spain. I don't think that's true. I don't think he thinks that's true. But anyway, big race. What was the atmosphere like, Alejandro, here in Montreal? How did the circuit differ in terms of road surface? Because to me, the Quebec road surface looked like really good. And the climbs were not as punchy at all.
Yeah, I mean, this was a harder circuit first at all. And the second thing, you know, like the streets, they weren't like in as good a state as in Quebec. Like even like they had to change a little bit the circuit because there were some streets that are the traditionals of the race, and they couldn't pass with the peloton there because they were terrible, and they are actually just reconstructing them. So was quite different, and even that changed the strategy because, for example, another interesting thing was like that last K, they had to make like a full turn onto the last 500 meters, you know, and that reduces the speed, so it makes also the sprint very complicated. So yeah, it was quite different from Quebec. That I think was less harder than Montreal.
So yeah, Alejandro's been on the ground this weekend. He interviewed a few of the riders before the stage. Van Aert, Binium, Quinn Simmons, who attacked the other day, Matthews tuning up for a home Worlds, as well as a few others. Here's what they had to say about how they thought this race would be different to Quebec and how it would play out.
Yeah, I think I have to. I mean, Quebec is a really explosive final, and very often is a waiting game until the final lap. And I think here the race is much harder climb, so we can expect attacks from far further on.
Are you going to repeat your strategy from Quebec the other day?
No.
No. So then what would be your plan?
I mean, a circuit like this, you know quite quickly your place, so either make it to the finish and we fight for the win, or I'm in the bus already.
Yeah, we see it's harder today, so I think the race in itself will create some more difference, so just have to be up there if you have the legs.
Yeah, I mean, everything's possible, but today it's going to be hard, so yeah, I mean, if I'm finishing the good position, I'm okay. I mean, it's not only about the winning. So if I'm even top 10, I'm happy.
I think it's it's two laps more than when I won here, and extra few climbs each lap. So I mean, I'll try my best. It's obviously more favourable to the climbers today, but it'll be another great hit out for the Worlds in 2 weeks. So I'll do my best. It's obviously very hot today, and I think it's going to be a survival out here today. But no, I'm looking forward to it.
I think Benoit went really good Quebec. I think I'm still up there. I was in the group behind, so This race always fitted me a little bit more in time of really winning. So I think we have two good cards to play with Benoit more on the attack. I think it's a race that also suits him. Be more in front, and I can just sit on and wait, and hopefully it comes back, and I can have a good sprint. So I think that's a bit the strategy, and I think with two cards, you have always it's always better than with one. Otherwise, you have to panic when somebody goes away.
But anyway, interesting to hear. I had a laugh at the Quinn Simmons when you said, what will your strategy be? And he would be the same. He's like, nope, otherwise I'll be getting in the bus early. The race itself, pretty... Let's start with Andreas Leknessund. If you weren't watching Arctic Race of Norway or Tour de Suisse, this young man, this Norwegian guy, is a beast. He's a big engine, 70 kilo range, tall, actually quite aerodynamic, powerful. Not a guy you want to let in a breakaway. He won Arctic Race GC on the last stage from an almost all-day breakaway. And again, he was in the break here. And the reason I mention that is he was at 120, 130. Jumbo-Visma were responsible for controlling this race. After UAE, Alejandro, to me, it looked like they were just holding the gap stable with Formulo. Just holding it stable. But to close it, that seemed to be Jumbo-Visma's job. And, or was it? Because Laporte went to the front, right, with 30 Ks to go. They have six riders. Van der Sanders there, Enkhorn is there, but it's Christophe Villador going to the front, maybe their best domestique, pacing. Why do you think they used him first, and why do you think they closed the gap so fast to Leknessund? Was that necessary?
I think like their original plan, well, when I talked before to Van Aert, he told me like, we can expect attacks from far, you know? And I think their plan was like, just make the race hard and then try to attack there with Van Aert. But the thing, and this is why the tactics didn't look quite well, was that Van Aert wasn't that strong. Like when we see, when there started the counter attacks and the attacks, Van Aert wasn't like too great, you know? And he wasn't feeling right well. So I think that was the reason like why, like it just looked like too inconclusive, you know? Like, I mean, that was like their plan, but their leader didn't have the legs. But yeah, it was quite that because I think they were also like pacing like with an intention of attacking, but like they saw the circuit was really really hard, and maybe they just said, well, we'll just keep the pace and just like try to keep control Leknessund.
So that's basically Leknessund gets reeled in. Foss does a big shift for Jumbo-Visma. He's the last man after Laporte pulls off. And I'm thinking trouble because we've seen at the Olympics. It doesn't matter how good your sprint is. If you're the number one favorite and your name is Wout van Aert, if you have a group of 15 guys around you after a climb with a run into the finish or some climbs to attack, they're not going to go to the finish with you, at least willing. Mm-hmm. And that when I saw Foss there and the group was deep, we were talking 30 riders. There was Volta there, plus Gaudu, plus Stora. There was Ulisi, plus Pogacar. There was Danny Martinez and Adam Yates. There were teams with multiple riders. I thought that was problems for Jumbo-Visma, and at that point I think they managed it really well. A counter-attack went with Vondal and, sorry, who was the starter rider?
Velasco.
That went, and they didn't overreact. Then no one else was attacking, and they just paced to the last pinch, which was cresting with about 11Ks to go. I think they played that pretty calm. I was surprised Bahrain didn't attack with Tratnik. EF had crashed with Piccolo and Paulus. I would have expected them to go with them. But then your man, Alejandro, we said he was looking lean. Dani Felipe Martinez from the base of the last climb went full gas. This man came. Did he podium Liège? I said now.
No, he was fifth,
fourth,
I think.
Fourth or fifth, but he fourth. Was very good in Liège. He attacked, but to me, it seemed like it was great tactics from Ineos. It was a bait for Pogacar, for Van Aert, for Bagioli to set up Adam Yates. Is that how you saw it, or do you think Martinez was just like co-leader and that was his chance?
No, I think like that was like the key moment of the race for me, because like when Vandal and Velasco were at the front, I mean, like you said, Jumbo had in some way controlled the situation because they had Foss like just to pull off and try to control the situation. But when Martinez attacks, that's like sending UAE and Jumbo like the message, okay, right now it's time for Poggi and Vought like to take the responsibility by themselves. So I think that's the move in some way planned just to launch Yates after, you know, because then like that makes Poggi attack, then like all the riders come up and Yates is just staying at the wheels. I think he was at the parted wheel when at the moment of the Poggi's attack.
Yeah,
and
then just bridged him.
Yeah, exactly. And then we see the moment just like Pogacar stops the attack and then Yates go. So I think that was pretty much the plan, you know. I don't think Martinez wasn't looking actually for an opportunity for himself unless like Pogacar or Van Aert couldn't control his attack.
It was great tactics from Ineos on that climb. We'll get to the next decisive move in a second, but a word on our show partner, Zwift, the Zwift Hub. If you're in Canada, if you're in North America, winter is coming. And if you want to get into indoor training, Zwift have released a trainer which makes it more possible for more people with the Zwift Hub at an affordable price for the trainer. That it is incredible value. It's released on October 3rd. So go to Zwift.com to get more information on it and maybe sign up for notifications for more info. Or if you already have a trainer, indeed, go to Zwift.com and hop on and maybe renew that subscription for winter or autumn now for your free 7-day trial. But yep, Yates counters the Martinez move. Absolutely perfect from them. I guess at this point, there's no tactical decisions for Wout or Pogacar. I guess Pogacar has the legs. He closes Yates. Wout just has to follow as best he can. He goes maybe a little bit over the limit. Like, here's the... You'd be thinking, how could Jumbo have kept Domestiques deeper in the race so Wout on that final 10% section doesn't have to go fully to his limit so a Laporte or a Foss can bring him back? That probably is wishful thinking. And in reality, if a group of Godu, Pogacar, Yates, Bagioli get away and they have 7 seconds on a tired Foss or a tired Laporte, they're going to work together and Wout will not come back. So Wout looked, he got dropped by the Yates attack. The Yates attack was crazy strong. Like, if this finished uphill, Yates wins this race. But it doesn't. He has Pogacar fully redlined, I think. Bagioli and Godu were sitting on Wout, then they come round. But yeah, is there... I know Yates had diamonds in the legs. Is he going to World Championships?
I'm not sure, to be honest. But he should, you think, no? I mean, like...
9% climb?
Yeah, like, I mean, for me, this is one of the races when you see that the strongest guys doesn't win. Because for me, the strongest today was Yates. No, I mean, Pogacar at the end, he just had the legs because he was the strongest between the man that had like good sprint. The problem for Yates is he doesn't have good sprint. But as you said, like if the finish is uphill, wow, he wins just with one leg, you know.
Crazy shape from Yates, looking in good condition. But yeah, unfortunately for him, it's a flat finish. The group works really well together for a long time. I was quite surprised, actually, because... Well, the Olympics, Wout got attacked over and over and over and over with a similar composition of a group. Maybe it was a bit bigger, but I think Godu didn't know what to do, actually. I think he didn't know whether to trust his sprint because his sprint is underrated, and he did stuff up this finish. Godu for a good result. Bagioli was trusting his sprint for a bit, but then I can't remember if someone attacked through a corner. Pogacar was letting the wheel go at one point. And there was one attack in the run-in. Yates obviously was pulling a little bit, but I think he attacked once on a false flat, a shallower climb, but he couldn't get away. It just wasn't hard enough. Godu attacks through a corner. He gets a gap. Pogacar's then off the wheel. He actually looked a bit rough. And this, I've said it during the Tour de France, like Pogacar's sprint regeneration is unbelievable. Pogacar can be completely ruined, stuffed on your wheel, is getting dropped. If he's able to sit in the wheels for 2 minutes, he can still almost do his peak sprint. It's just crazy, his ability to recover to sprint. But at this moment, Wout's gapped him. He's bridging across the Gudu. He's got a group of four skinny, 65 kilo or less climbers, and he doesn't counter. And this is the moment for me where Wout, of course, has the best sprint theoretically from the group. He's, you know, way heavier, 15 kilos heavier than these guys. He's winning pure bunch sprints this year, second in both pure bunch sprints in the Grand Départ and the Tour de France. But this is completely different. They'll sit on him. He's had to just defend and get dropped and come back on a punchy climb on a 4,800 meter Denneville stage or race. And I think his biggest relative advantage to these guys in the moment is his TT, is to go Cancellara mode, to avoid all the finessing. He's got Pogacar off the wheel, and when he gets to Gudu, to do his full all-in effort to attack Gudu and go solo on the flat. It might not have worked, but I think his sprint is kind of a curse at the moment, or can be a curse when the other guys are able to work him over a bit. So maybe he couldn't, but Omloop, he won solo. E3, they got separation. I think if he could have, he should have. I don't know if he could have. What do you think? Do you think he should have just trusted his sprint?
No. Absolutely no. I think, like, if he could have, the best option for him was like just to try to attack from far. The thing is that he couldn't, actually, you know. But, you know, I mean, Van Aert isn't a trustable a rider you will trust, like, in this kind of sprints, you know. Because also, like, at this point, or I say in this kind of races, like, it doesn't really have an impact if you have the best sprint between 5 or 10 riders. I mean, at the end, the only thing or everything turns around, like, you know, on the energy you have and how hard is the parkour. And in this case, it was pretty, pretty hard for Van Aert. And that's, for example, the big difference for Pogacar, because I think at the end in the climbs, Pogacar, he showed himself a little bit stronger than Wout, and I think that made the difference.
And Wout actually plays the last kilometer really well. There's a hairpin turn that Alejandro mentioned at the top of the show. Remember in Liège when Alaphilippe ran wide and went to the back, Pogacar ran wide, went to the back, Valverde was like, I'm going to go to the front and lead them out for 300 meters into a headwind. Wout's like, I'm not leading out the whole sprint. It was the right thing to do. He's played that really, really smart. I couldn't believe they let him. And it freaks out Pogacar and Gudu. Gudu doesn't know what to do. He, like, goes to the front and starts pacing slowly. He moves to the side. He then decides to attack. He then opens up his sprint in the drop, standing up like a parachute from, like, 300 out. And Wout's in Pogacar's wheel. I've never seen this before. It's always Pogacar is in the wheel of the best sprinter, because tactically that's usually the best. Bagioli's on Wout's wheel, Yates is at the back, and Gudu goes, and Pogacar then has to close it, and he's not on the wheel. And I'm like, Wout has played this perfectly tactically in this final K. Pogacar's stuffed, but it's a slow speed sprint, and as Pogacar gets up to speed, he's looking super aero. He's still out of the saddle. Long sprint. Gets past Gudu, and Van Aert sits down in his wheel. Can't come out of Pogacar's wheel. Pogacar wins by a bike length plus, with Van Aert beating Bagioli for the bike throw for third. Yates fourth. Gudu fifth. Schmidt winning the bunch sprint. It wasn't even a bunch sprint. Sorry. It was just dribs and drabs behind Schmidt, Aliotti, Bardet, Bilbao, Warren Barguil. Matthews came 13th. What a sprint from Pogacar, Alejandro, and I think, I don't know, the world's parkour, I'm not saying he's the favorite for worlds now, because it's not as hard as Montreal, in my opinion, but it is a 1K 9% climb. He's got Tratnik. I don't think he has Moric, but yeah, I've never seen Pogacar in this shape before his A target. Usually, I thought he was going to come fifth or sixth today, but today, wow. Like, incredible sprint. What do you think about him for Worlds now?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, he's going to be one of the top favorites, like, no doubt about it. But maybe with this win and, you know, with that fact of showing himself too strong before that main target, I don't know, maybe that would pull him, like to a favoritism that, I don't know, maybe could be much of the expected, like, before the race. And I guess we'll see, because as you said, it isn't as much as hard as the Montreal course, but I think should be enough, like, for him to make damage and, you know, try to play it similar, because you know, those are climbs that even suit him. He can do very well there. And yeah, I can expect him riding aggressively and being one of the top favorites for sure. I mean, for me now, the man that will have like some more doubts will be Van Aert, right? Because like he wasn't too good on these two races in Canada.
Yeah, and I think the big difference is while Van Aert has Remco Evenepoel on his team in the World Champs, and I think that's a good thing because Ineos, for example, used team tactics today to allow Yates to come back with Bardet and then hit that group really, really hard. He nearly dropped Pogacar and dropped Van Aert for, you know, a little bit by 15, 10 meters. But he's got Evenepoel with him. Now, can Evenepoel do a hard lead out if they're in a group of five? Can Evenepoel attack and put Van Aert in a seat? That's different to today. It's Foss, it's Enkhorn trying to just kind of control the race. I do think it's an easier parkour overall. There is less climbing per kilometer in the World Champs. But I will say this was a great race. The Quebec, I think this was, because of the names, this was a better race for me than Quebec, but I think quite a good weekend of racing. Matthew said before the race, the circuit racing is really good as a tune-up for world championships, but this, like the names, like Yates, Pogacar, Van Aert, Guru, the prime contenders for Liège-Bastogne-Liège battling it out full gas, I mean, hats off to the race. I thought it was really exciting. Was there anything else from the race, apart from these main guys? The way, I don't know, a Trek played it or a Movistar or a EF. Is Sturven dropping concerning for Belgium? Anything else maybe earlier in the race?
I would say like Aramburu did really well, you know. Like he told me on the beginning, he had some stomach problems and that's why he wasn't good enough in Quebec. And today, like I saw him, like, you know, in the bunch for a good time. So I think that was pretty good for him. And also Arkea, you know, like Barguil, two top 10, points for relegation, so was good.
Anyway, I think the press conference is kicking off. Andrea Bagioli, I just saw, walked behind Alejandro. I guess let us know what you think. I've enjoyed having Alejandro on the ground, doing, you know, the podcast slightly differently. I hope he had a good weekend. Check out LRCP Twitter for all the interviews. And if you're speak Spanish, Alejandro's put the ones with Spanish speakers on his Twitter account. But yeah, Grand Prix Cycliste de Montréal certainly will be talked about more, and the Grand Prix Cycliste de Quebec in our World Championships preview coming up. But thanks as always. Thanks, Alejandro. And we'll see you with the next one. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.